This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And here we are once again. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla as we speed towards the end of summer.
Oh, don't say it.
Yeah. We had a good run. You know,
it was a short run.
After a while, you get tired of those, you know, steamy days and, you know, that.
Yeah.
The August doldrums and the humidity and unremitting heat, rain, moisture.
The constant drone of the air conditioner.
Yeah, so here we are. So I hope you're staying cool, and we'll provide you with some cool information, hopefully this hour. The destination for questions, radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. Before we get into questions, big story this week has to do with a study that purported to show a link between brain fog and probiotic use.
Ah.
And I don't want to steal my own thunder because I plan to tee off on it in detail.
Yes.
In a newsletter article that will appear sometime around the time that people are listening to this podcast.
Uh-huh.
So what I do have to say is that it is a terrible study. And that belief is shared by the folks at NutriNgredients-USA.com.
Okay.
Which is a publication of the trade of the nutrition industry. And the headline here is IPA. Usually I think of that as standing for India Pale Ale.
But, that's right.
IPA is actually the acronym for the, did you know there was such a thing as the International Probiotics Association?
Oh.
So they say IPA, other experts roundly reject conclusions of, quote, brain fog paper.
Uh-huh.
And I love what they say here. It says, an observational study that purported to show a link between brain fogginess and probiotics use has so many problems with it that the International Probiotics Association concluded that this is a case where the peer review process has clearly failed. The paper is titled Brain Fogginess, Gas and Bloating, a Link Between SIBO Probiotics and Metabolic Acidosis, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they just demolish the premises behind this, and I may borrow some of their lines of argument for my newsletter article that I'll share with listeners. But you know, let's take a look at what's wrong with the paper, you know, briefly. First of all, brain fog, you know, spaciness, can be associated with SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth.
Absolutely, so, and Candida.
Right, which is, and we used to call it Candida. Now we've expanded that concept to call it in the modern era. You know, in the 20th century, you know, literally way back in the 70s and 80s, we talked about the yeast connection, Candida.
Yeah.
It made you stupid and, you know, robbed you of IQ points. And now we tend to talk about SIBO, which is a bacterial overgrowth, but also can have fungal components. So it makes you spacey. Toxins are released.
There's a little bit of a still going on. You're a little bit,
These toxins can alter the blood-brain barrier. They cause food allergens and intestinal byproducts to enter the brain, and they make you feel lousy, and they rob you of concentration. So also there may be a vagal nerve component when you have distension, that it actually sends a signal that's sort of a drowsy sensation or a parasympathetic sensation to the brain, you know, like as if you've eaten a big meal. So there's something to that. So what they did is they took a bunch of people who had SIBO, who coincidentally were taking probiotics. And they did a bunch of studies, and they found that, indeed, they had overproduction of lactic acid, which is a hallmark of overgrowth of bacteria. And this lactic acid got into the system and effect of the brain. And then they told the people to stop taking probiotics, but they also gave them antibiotics. Ah. They gave them a standard antibiotic treatment for SIBO, which is the medication Xifaxan. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, they got better.
Yeah.
But it didn't get better. You know, when you do two things and you attribute the improvement to one thing,
yes,
it's really not fair because they also give them antibiotics.
That's true.
So that's right away I saw that was a problem with this experiment and the study.
And not just that, when you've got SIBO, you have to go through the process first of identifying it, then eradication of it. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to re-inoculate the gut mm-hmm. with the healthy probiotics.
Right.
Because oftentimes, if you have SIBO and it's pretty bad, mm-hmm. and you start taking just probiotics, mm-hmm. those probiotics may just join the party, right. so to speak. I'm quoting right. somebody else. I don't remember.
Well, there's no mention in the study about diet or the low FODMAP diet,
oh,
which
that's
we
right.
favor.
Yeah.
And by the way they ascertained whether these people had SIBO is they gave them a 75 or 100 milligrams of a sugar challenge. To promote the overgrowth.
Okay. All right.
So, the importance of a low carb regimen wasn't mentioned. Mm-hmm. Also, another element to this is gastric motility.
Yes.
Or what's sometimes referred to as
gastroparesis.
Mm-hmm. Or even in patients who've had sections of their intestine removed, such as in gastric bypass or intestinal resection for, say, ulcerative colitis, short bowel syndrome, mm-hmm. People do develop brain fog from that.
Sure.
It's true. And, one element of that is that these toxins go to the liver, and the liver is overwhelmed. They first pass through the liver, but the liver is unable to break these toxins down. So actually, but I would contrast this with studies that are coming out lately that show that probiotics improve mood,
yes.
reduce anxiety, alleviate depression,
mm-hmm.
because there is a gut connection to mood and to
absolutely.
General outlook.
90% of serotonin is made in the brain. Kimchi or probiotics may be the next Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We call those psychobiotics.
Psychobiotics.
That we coined
the
new. It's a term.
Psychobiotics.
It's a term that has been coined for.
Cool.
The potential for probiotics to have a beneficial effect on the brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So anyway, clickbait headline. Again, it's an example of you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer.
Yeah.
And, I'll point out some of the other specific inadequacies
in
the study in my article, which I'm working on this week.
We'll look forward to that.
Also, a new study looking at the relationship between sleep and
loneliness.
Okay. Wait, if you sleep too much, you'll be lonely because you won't go out and meet anybody?
No. Those who are sleep deprived will have a tendency to be more lonely.
I can attest to that because I've had insomnia,
uh-huh.
and it's the most lonely thing in the world.
Oh.
Because you don't want to bug somebody else up and wake them up.
That's true. But the thing is, when you're sleep deprived, you're not as social.
Oh.
Because you're grumpy.
Yeah.
From I didn't sleep last night.
Right.
And so you're less approachable.
That's like two of the dwarfs rolled into one, sleepy and grumpy.
Sleepy and grumpy. Yes,
together.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like almost stating the obvious.
Uh-huh.
We don't function well. Our mood is not great.
This made headlines?
This made headlines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I hope it wasn't a government grant.
No.
On a taxpayer tab. Okay. Once again, proving the obvious.
Exactly.
Modern science to the rescue.
Yeah. Okay. On to questions. We have one. We have an email from Diane. Can you help me with the issue of fibromyalgia? I've had it for over 30 years and I'm 74 years old.
Wow.
All tests for immune diseases were negative, but I do have inflammation. I also have a lot of anxiety and I have palpitations.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a consult. But I will tackle it because it's sort of a generic problem.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have to say is that I've treated a lot of fibromyalgia patients over the years, mm-hmm. and there are many different components to it. And one person's answer may not be applicable to mm-hmm. another person. So there's sort of many different components to fibromyalgia. But we would, check, of course, the hormones.
Yeah.
There's some suggestion that hormone replacement, certainly addressing thyroid. sometimes addressing DHEA, and men addressing testosterone can alleviate fibromyalgia. I recall very distinctly I had an airline pilot once that I treated for very severe fibromyalgia, who I gave testosterone to, and it completely alleviated his fibromyalgia.
Wow.
So that type of fibromyalgia responds to hormones. Then, of course, there's nutrition, and we believe that the mitochondria is involved, and
yes,
supporting the mitochondria is important. And was on our, what's it, my recall.
He's the fibromyalgia doctor.
Well, he's actually the NT factor doctor. No, Teitelbaum.
Okay.
Teitelbaum is the fibromyalgia doctor.
Yes.
But the NT factor doctor is, his name will come back to me in a second, did a thing on a treatment of fibromyalgia with high dose NT factor and caffeine together.
Oh.
Okay. So
that's great.
A plausible way to support the mitochondria, you know, coenzyme Q10 and also maybe nicotinamide riboside. Ribose has been proposed since it's a building block for ATP.
Terrific. Vitamin D deficiency, I think, is important.
Vitamin D deficiency can cause more aches and pains.
Yeah. Yeah.
We address the sleep problems because the sleep insomnia is an issue. Mm-hmm. There's a depression issue. There's an IBS issue associated with this. The gut
clean
has to be normalized. Food intolerances need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fibromyalgia may be a brain fog of the muscles.
Interestingly.
You know, there's a lot of different components to fibromyalgia.
Yeah, Diane is on gabapentin.
A medication that sometimes relieves pain.
Yeah, had to discontinue her statin.
Mm-hmm.
Because it all...
Well, statins really cause body aches and pains.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and she takes an occasional Benadryl to induce sleep at night. I remember being advised to do that in my early 20s because I was found to be very allergic. Take a Benadryl. Take it at night. That's the best time to take it.
It's very sedating.
Completely.
However, it can leave people hungover.
Hmm.
And in the elderly, it has kind of a cholinergic side effect.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's not recommended to take these anticholinergics for a long period of time.
Right.
That may contribute to things like...
Garth Nicholson is our NT factor guy. We did an interview with him.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Garth Nicholson has done a lot of the research on NT factors, a membrane replacement, helping the mitochondria to function better.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be an energetic disease, lack of, akin to chronic fatigue syndrome or Gulf War syndrome, some of those kind of problems.
Wow. Interesting. So Diane, and she's included a lot of other information here, which I'm really not getting into because it's a consult.
Yeah, come on down.
Yeah, come on down. We don't do podcast consults.
Right. But, we'd love to share sort of generic information.
Yes.
Here's some possible,
like,
solutions.
About fibromyalgia, sure.
Some of which you can apply in a DIY fashion, but some may require working with an expert practitioner to undertake. What type of diet would you put a person with fibromyalgia?
Ketogenic.
Yeah.
Because of mitochondria.
Okay.
We need to expand and create more mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
If the deficiency of that or the lack of its working is part of that syndrome.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, fat as a fuel.
Fat as a fuel.
Much less carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do it for a lifetime. Just do it as, how long would it take to ascertain if that's helpful?
As little as a few weeks to a month and a half, maybe?
I'm gonna share something
in tough
very
cases?
Interesting with you, which is a little bit of a segue, but let me see if I can find it. Is there's a guy who's been on TV a lot. He's a philosopher from Canada, and he's a conservative philosopher. So he's on Fox a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of these sort of common sense, bare bones guys. Jordan Peterson. Have you ever heard of Jordan Peterson?
No.
Okay. Anyway,
no.
Jordan. So it doesn't matter what his politics are, but Jordan Peterson says eating only beef has cured his depression.
Wow.
It's the carnivore diet. Now, you may say those are a little nuts, but, there's something to, since he's following a ketogenic diet, he's not obviously only eating meat. He's having some leafy vegetables and stuff.
Yeah, otherwise that'll get very boring.
But he went on a very low-carb diet.
Uh-huh.
So he might have cured his SIBO or changed his microbiome, which had an influence on his brain.
Totally.
And therefore, by the way, it's fibromyalgia you feel in your muscles, but it's actually thought to originate in the brain.
Hmm.
So it is a central disorder. In other words, central nervous system, not so much where you feel it in the you know, shoulders and
Interesting.
Hips and back. Anyway, there is some power to a ketogenic diet
yeah.
for addressing these kinds of energetic problems.
I mean, think about the nutrients in meat. You've got vitamin A, you've got the B vitamins, including folate, you've got carnitine, you've got CoQ10. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And starving your body of those carbs and not feeding any bad bacteria, mm-hmm. that has everything to do with
you
it.
You will change your microbiome.
And especially, absolutely, and just in a matter of a few days.
Yeah.
So that's important too. It's wonderful that the body, and especially the gut in that regard, can be so resilient,
you know, and
as to change.
As I look back, you know, we used to put people on a Candida diet.
Yes.
And it was all about yeast,
Still do,
yeast, yeast.
To
and
a
we
degree.
Do, and we do.
Yeah.
But in so doing, we're not even sure that the people then feel marvelous sometimes.
Yeah.
Is it always just because we're suppressing yeast growth?
Hmm.
Or because we're suppressing yeast growth because yeast thrives on sugars and carbohydrates, but we mm-hmm. may also be changing, doing other things, you
yeah.
know, energetically to mm-hmm. the mitochondria. We may be reducing bacterial overgrowth mm-hmm. thereby. So, you know, it certainly the Candida diet has worked for many people over
That's
the years.
True.
But why does it work? Is
yeah.
it just because of yeast or are there other things going on?
Yeah. I mean, a Candida diet is a naturally low-carb diet. It's also aiding in any blood sugar issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a very, very clean diet. So anybody coming off a high carb or a processed food diet mm-hmm. will automatically feel better
right.
doing something like a Candida diet
mm-hmm.
or anything different from what they've been doing.
Right.
So there are lots of answers to that question of
And, you know, we do why. Know about this auto-brewery syndrome whereby people make toxins.
They have a still
yeah.
in their gut.
Yeah.
That's why they're a little drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alcohol, acetaldehyde is a byproduct,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the poison
yep.
of all that. So,
so there's
yeah.
the an outline of a very plausible approach to fibromyalgia.
Yeah. Diane, come to New York.
Yep.
See us. Thank you for your question.
A good point at which to pause because we love to give our sponsors a little bit of a forum to share their vital message with you. So here goes. Listen up.
As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to Layla, who's got our next question.
We have an email from Gary. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I much admire your brain health protocol and your heart health protocol. Thank you. I see, however, that for one, magnesium taurate is recommended, while for the other, magnesium threonate is recommended. Is there not some full spectrum magnesium that can cover both bases? Hope you're well and in good spirits.
In other words, if you have both, you should, you know, whether you need to take both two
yeah.
different things.
Isn't there one that's more full spectrum?
Well, magnesium threonate is designed to cross the blood-brain barrier, hence mm-hmm. we put it in the brain protocol. And magnesium taurate specifically has an antiarrhythmic and blood
yes.
pressure lowering effect on the heart.
Yeah, yeah. Gary, of course, you could take one of each, but I don't know. I'm thinking of something like
Jigsaw magnesium,
reacted magnesium, which mm-hmm. is a combination of glycinate, citrate, and I forget the
there's
third
no
one.
There's no threonate, I don't think.
There's no threonate.
And
there.
There's no taurate.
But I have to say, threonate and taurate are very, very specific. I've taken them both. I've felt the effects of both.
Right.
And I think they work wonderfully.
Okay.
So I would still recommend for those specific issues, brain and for heart, it's better to do it that way. But yeah, jigsaw, magnesium malate, maybe if you're looking for, I have to choose magnesium, one magnesium. Which one?
Magnesium malate was proposed as a specific magnesium for fibromyalgia because malic acid has something to do with the Krebs cycle in energy production.
Okay.
So it was thought that you, by taking a lot of that, that was in vogue in the 90s, that was, in fact, they used to have a product called fibromalic, because it was designed to address fibromyalgia. We forgot to mention that magnesium is important in for muscle aches and pains, fibromyalgia. So I take a lot of magnesium because I work out a lot, and I think it helps to reduce muscle problems. Mm-hmm. I take the reacted magnesium powder, which is sweetened with stevia and really tasty.
And you put it in your water and stuff, right?
Yeah, I put it in my water bottle when I'm on my bicycle without any sugar. And it just encourages me to drink because it tastes nice. And it gives me the magnesium that I'm losing when I'm exerting myself.
I take the capsules of the reactive magnesium.
Oh.
Yeah, because I kind of go around and switch and see how one works compared to the other. I'm liking the reactive magnesium a lot, in fact. Gary, thank you for your question.
That's, by the way, from Orthomolecular. And all these products we're talking about, they're available on FullScript. Mm-hmm. So go to drhoffman.com. It'll click on Store. It'll take you to the landing page of FullScript where you can enroll, and then you can shop there.
Yeah. We've got an email from Bonnie. Hi, Layla and Dr. Hoffman. I have read and heard, probably from you, that it's not advisable to take B vitamins if there is an active cancer present. I'm curious to know why B vitamins in particular might encourage cancer growth and not other antioxidants like vitamins C and E. As always, your podcasts are a delight to exercise to, better than music. That's high praise. Thank you, Bonnie.
That is indeed. But I have to say that when I exercise,
music.
I have to listen to music.
I listen to music, absolutely.
Yes. I have my new wireless earbuds, regardless of the amount of radiation I'm getting in my brain. And, for the hour or that I'm running, it's probably okay. And I just have, my classic rock anthems going, in my head. And, maybe some new punk and alternative stuff.
Why B vitamins? They're singled out.
But I've gone back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. And this is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. I've discussed this with one of my favorite go-to people on cancer nutrition, who is Dr. Lise Alschuler.
Yes.
And it's her belief that certain B vitamins are growth factors, as I believe. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there has been some concern about folic acid supplementation of foods, that folic acid may be a cancer promoter.
Mm.
It turns out it's a kind of complex, is that actually inadequate folic acid can set the stage for certain cancers. But once you get the cancers, folic acid may be a cancer promoter.
Huh.
Now, various studies have shown either that it's safe in terms of cancer or that there's some slight trend towards cancer growth. So we tend to stay away from the B vitamins, with the exception of vitamin B6, which doesn't appear to have a negative effect. But, if you look at these things, they're all associated with respiration and energy production.
Uh-huh.
And that may actually help support cancer growth.
Because they're supportive in metabolism.
Yeah.
So many of the B vitamins.
So I tend to restrict the B vitamins in patients with cancer, but for a while. I mean, if you've had cancer in 1995 or something, it doesn't mean you shouldn't have a B vitamin.
Right.
It's now 25 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it also depends on the amount. If you're getting, for instance, 300 micrograms of methylfolate in your multi, would that be of concern? I mean...
Well, no, probably not. I've heard it said that maybe biotin has a negative effect on hormonal cancers.
Interesting.
So maybe that's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not really been demonstrated. There are certain things for certain amino acids where they've done experiments that show the depletion of certain amino acids slows cancer growth. Among the amino acids that could be depleted is leucine, which is unfortunate because leucine is actually very
branched-chain amino acid.
It's actually used to stave off sarcopenia.
Yes.
And it's included in formulas sometimes designed for older people who are trying to regain weight or sustain muscle mass. Bodybuilders use branched-chain amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's some studies that suggest that leucine may be a conditionally essential nutrient for cancer growth. And so withholding leucine might be a good idea.
Yeah. So Bonnie's asking, why isn't a vitamin like vitamin C implicated in an active cancer? Why? How come the B vitamins cause this but not C? C is one of the most important antioxidants.
I think because it's basically it's antioxidant.
Ever.
It supports the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's essential for wound healing and repair.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Or vitamin E. But that brings to mind that that particular study that looked at prostate cancer and vitamin E and selenium.
Right.
But the problem with that study...
Wrong vitamin E, wrong selenium.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And those that actually took the selenium fared better. Mm-hmm. Or no worse than
and
the ones
that
just
And there was one study
took...
with beta-carotene, which is an antioxidant, in Spanish smokers, who, by the way, they didn't mention, were also mostly alcoholics. So they had already
smoking
problems.
And alcohol
their,
is...
their liver wasn't working well to metabolize the vitamin A. And, you know, it may be once they're so far gone at such high risk with smoking, that antioxidants can sometimes backfire and actually have a negative effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I must have said something that really resonated because...
Wow, you got the gods angry.
Exactly.
Okay. No. The angels are bowling or whatever.
Right. Yeah. For those of you who didn't hear that background noise, we're having a little bit of our August thunder shower here in New York.
Yeah.
And
Okay. Bonnie, we hope that answers your question. Thank you for writing to us.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's pause before while we seek shelter from the lightning bolts. And when we are in a secure building, we'll resume in part two.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that the weather, the lightning rods are activated.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of conjures up a scene from Young Frankenstein. You know, they always like, that's the way they usually activate the corpse, is by you know, electrifying.
Uh-huh.
Boy, that is a tangent, isn't it?
That is.
All right. Let's quit while we're ahead. We'll return in part two, and where we'll discuss what?
We will discuss, I get atrial fibrillation from time to time anytime I eat soy sauce or MSG.
Well, if you stand out in a lightning storm and you get hit by lightning, it will normalize your heart rate.
It will, yeah.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. Well, not those three soccer players who got hit by lightning, I think it was just a week ago.
Oh, really?
Out in Queens, Corona Park. Yeah.
Those are dedicated soccer players. They're playing in a lightning storm.
Yeah.
Okay. Overzealous.
I think so.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.